Welcome to EAN Cast, your weekly source for education, research, and updates from the European Academy of Neurology.
Hello to everybody, and welcome to the third episode of this subtopic within the arguments that the scientific panel in muscle and neuromuscular junction disorders of the European Academy of Neurology is taking on some particular topics of interest. Now, today we have Professor Antonio Toscano. Hi, Professor Toscano, who is going to tell us about a very relevant topic within the area of diagnosis dilemmas in muscular dystrophies. We know now that differential diagnosis in muscular dystrophies represents a very relevant point to be considered among specialists that take care of patients with muscle disorders. And now we have to take advantage of new knowledges about these possibilities, and this in order to do all the possible investigation necessary to get a precise and maybe in some way individualized diagnosis. I will introduce Professor Antonio Toscano, a full professor at the University of Messina, is the leading of a very well-known group with a lot of activities in research and also in medical assistance in neuromuscular disorders. So please, Antonio, it's your turn.
Thank you, Professor Siciliano. Dear Gabriele, thanks to EAN to have allowed me to do this talk on muscle biopsy. And I would like to start soon with the concept that muscle biopsy is a very relevant tool in the diagnostic workup of neuromuscular disorders. So everybody knows that these days muscle biopsy is less used, rather in the past, because of the new possibilities to try to get a diagnosis by molecular testing. But I would say, and I know that certainly several experts in the field will be on the same opinion, that muscle biopsy is still very relevant, in specifically in a part of neuromuscular disorders. So muscle biopsy is very useful because we try to study patients with acute or chronic progressive muscle weakness, and is not honestly the first examination we supply for patients, because we really need before a very clear clinical pattern, an important electrodiagnostic testing. Even muscle MRI can be very useful to try to better understand what kind of disorder we are facing. And of course, laboratory examinations, like simple examination like CK levels or transaminase levels or electrolytes levels. But also, it's important, as I said, to try to get as soon as possible the diagnosis, because several neuromuscular disorders are treatable. This is an important concept we have to take in mind. So we need to speed up the diagnosis, because we may treat in timely the patients. And I'm particularly referring to a number of muscle disorders, like, for example, inflammatory myopathies, metabolic myopathies, or others that really need to be discovered as soon as possible, because there is the therapy, and the therapy has to be started as soon as possible. So once you are oriented this way, we have to think that there are hundreds of different muscle disorders, but we really need to try to understand better when it's necessary to use muscle biopsy. And we should concentrate on this. So to perform muscle biopsy, we need some specific indications. First of all, we need to know what is the muscle involvement in the patient. If this muscle involvement is proximal or distal or both, we need to know what is the consistency of the muscle weakness in different muscle groups, because usually, as a definition, muscle biopsy is taken not in the most compromised muscle, because we risk not to find enough tissues to make a diagnosis. So we usually have to select one less compromised muscle, and this is important. And you can get this from the clinical aspects, from the electrodiagnostic aspects. Today, we really use a lot muscle MRI to try to understand what's the best place to have muscle biopsy. So once we have decided what is the best muscle to be biopsied, we can operate on this. This muscle biopsy usually expected in two different forms. We have an open biopsy, we have a needle biopsy. Open biopsy usually is very largely applied, and it's very important because this allows you to take an important muscle, an important amount of muscle, whereas needle biopsy is in some areas very, very often more used than the open biopsy. But in other cases, needle biopsy is useful because it may allow you to have a sort of a control examination, for example, after a period of therapy. So having said this, we know that this is a minimally invasive examination, although, of course, especially for children, is a little bit more traumatic. But as I said, today we try to use muscle biopsy, especially after genetic testing, because sometimes genetic testing is not so clear and we really need to clarify the situation of muscles. Overall, muscle biopsy is still, as I said, very useful because you can get important clues from the examination of muscle biopsy, like, for example, inflammatory areas in several kind of different inflammatory myopathies, like polymyositis or dermatomyositis, or different kind of similar disorders that now are grouped in the inflammatory myopathies. But also, for example, in patients with metabolic disorders where you can find a glycogen accumulation, a lipid accumulation, or a mitochondrial proliferation that usually suggests a mitochondrial disorder. So the examination of the sample is very complex, I would say, because to have a complete examination, you need a lot of stains. But sometimes you can organize your procedures. You may have initially an histological stain that can show you the morphology, mainly the morphology of fibers. For example, this is important to distinguish the two main groups, myopathic and neurogenic disorders. And from the histological point of view, you can select the two different group of neuromuscular disorders. Although, in some cases, you can find a mixture of these aspects, because you can find some myopathic but also neurogenic alterations. Myopathic and neurogenic alterations are quite different. When you see myopathic aspects, you see mainly about fiber size variation and muscle necrosis, and especially is a long-standing disorder, you can find several centralized nuclei. Those are mainly, there is also an increase of the connective tissues between myofibers. This is something that is characteristic of muscle disorders, whereas when you have to face an neurogenic disorders, you can find different kind of atrophy, for example, type 2 atrophy or type 1 atrophy, or even both in some cases. You can find specific areas that are completely atrophic, and you can also find some target or targetoid fibers that are fibers with sort of eccentric different stain that can suggest you a target appearance, which is very, very recurrent in neurogenic disorders. So those are mainly the most relevant profiles in the two group of disorders, but you may have several sub-specificity in different group of disorders.
I would like to ask you, what's your opinion about the role of muscle biopsy in a very common clinical picture that we can encounter during our clinical activities? What we call oligo or asymptomatic hyperglycemia, no? A clinical picture in which, or maybe it's better a laboratory picture in which we can observe increase of CK, blood CK in patients, but this in very oligo or asymptomatic conditions.
This is a very important question. In fact, when we have to deal with patients with mild or elevated hyperglycemia, we need to know that there are different levels of hyperglycemia, and also if the hyperglycemia is somehow flanked by different situations like exercise intolerance or myalgia or fatigability. So all these kind of symptoms are very relevant and suggest us to try to be very careful in the diagnosis of this possible muscle disorders. I would say that today the relevance of muscle biopsy is still evident in these cases, but of course, because hyperglycemia is something that is very frequent, much more frequent than thought, so we need to of course observe the clinical aspects and the neurophysiological aspects, and after that, if you have the chance to solve the problem by genetic testing, of course, still is the first option. But sometimes, as I said before, you have the suggestion that you may solve the problem using muscle biopsy, especially, for example, in cases where the pathology is quite acute. So in these cases, let's say, for example, if you have an important CK elevation with a mild weakness, it's important to make a biopsy because you may find an inflammatory myopathy that can be treated quite soon. So this is something that can happen, although inflammatory myopathies usually have a very relevant clinical picture, but in some cases this is less evident. So in this case, I suppose that still muscle biopsy is very important to be taken, because that can solve the problem of the diagnosis soon.
Very interesting overview. I think that several points of interest have been considered in describing which is the role of muscle biopsy still now, in which other investigations are important in a definite diagnosis of a muscular dystrophy. So thank you again, and have a nice time. Bye.
Thanks very much, everybody.
This has been EAN Cast Weekly Neurology. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcatcher for weekly updates from the European Academy of Neurology. You can also listen to this and all of our previous episodes on the EAN campus to gain points and become an EAN expert in any of our 29 neurological specialties. Simply become an EAN individual member to gain access. For more information, visit ean.org/membership. That's ean.org/membership. Thanks for listening. EANcast Weekly Neurology is your unbiased and independent source for educational and research-related neurological content. Although all content is provided by experts in their field, it should not be considered official medical advice.